Big show off playing that good, so sweet to the Lord. Take your Bible tonight. We're going to be back in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, the Lord, as he's headed toward the cross, he's finished the work the Father sent him to do. He's headed toward the cross. The high priestly prayer. That to a Bible believer, this is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 is actually the model prayer. What we consider the Lord's Prayer has been called the Lord's Prayer for centuries. It is actually the model prayer where the Lord told his disciples, said, "Pray ye." He was teaching his disciples how they should pray. But here in John 17, he's finished the work of the Father, and he's on his way to the cross. And he pours his heart out in this priestly discourse to his heavenly Father. I want to concentrate a little bit tonight. I think we got up to about verse 16. I want to look at John 17, 17, and I'll read down to it. John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy word hath, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they're not of this world, not of the world. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want to stop there for a little bit. What separates biblical Christianity from every religion in the world is that we have the truth. We have the words of God. We've got the testimony of God. The Bible says, and this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus. So we have the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. One God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So what separates us from the rest of the crowd is the truth. The truth separates, because men don't want to hear the truth. The Lord told those Pharisees that they're of their father. The devil said he is a father of the liars, father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning. And the world aligns with a lie. We see that with our, we just had a big political contest. There's one lie told after another. But we have the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So what is truth? We have the word of God. And if you don't believe you've got the word of God, you need to search it out and find out so you can take confidence and anchor in the truth of God's word. It took me about 3 years to come to the conclusion that that old 400-year-old text of the King James Bible for English-speaking people was no doubt the Word of God. The clincher for me was the fact that the Holy Spirit had put his seal of approval on this book that won more souls to Jesus Christ than all the other versions put together. Psalms 12, 6, and 7 promised that God would preserve his word from this generation forever. So believing God that he said that his word would be preserved from this generation to every generation, then it became a matter of where is it? Where is it? So then the investigation begins. That's what I did for a living for many years. I was an investigator. So I went to that book and investigated where is that promised word of God that was settled in heaven forever. And the Holy Spirit pointed me to the one that had been used for centuries in leading more souls to Jesus Christ than all the others. Psalms 12, the words, 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. They're lying. Psalms 19 and verse 4, it says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Psalms 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalms 119 and 130, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Proverbs 22, 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. The prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 3:10, moreover, he said to me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine today. We're living in a famine in America, in the world today, and not a famine of bread, a famine of the hearing of the words of God. Nobody wants to hear truth. Everyone wants to come up with their own idea about things. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Truth, that's what we have. That's what we need to anchor with, the foundation of God's holy word, his holy Bible. Notice the Bible says holy Bible. The Lord does not change. His word forever is settled in heaven. Matthew 24, 35, the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, watch it, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, says in Mark 13, 31, but my words shall not pass away, repeated himself. Luke 9, 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in the and of the holy angels. Shouldn't be ashamed of God's words. And the world wants you to be ashamed of what Jesus Christ says and the moral code that God has laid out for mankind. The world wants you to push you back in the closet and wants you to be ashamed of what the Lord says on how you should live, how you should act, how you should speak, how you should walk, and how you should talk. There's a way that God gives for man. There's a moral code that God instills in man. And he followed up with a written word, the very words of God. John 6, 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. My, my. John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know what folks are going to be judged by in the last day? They're going to be judged by that book that they rejected. They're going to be judged by the word of God. I'm not going to be judging anybody. Maybe angels. The Bible says, know ye not that ye shall judge angels? I don't know what that's about. But every man that stand before that great white throne judgment who has rejected the free gift of salvation will give account of every idle word and every thought that that man thought, his every inner secret of that man's secret life will be revealed. All things are naked and open to him with whom we have to do. And it will all be judged according to God's holy word. My. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's why when I deal with a man about his soul, I like to take him to the book and show him. That way it isn't just some dude came around and showed me, told me something, and that's what I'm basing my salvation on. I don't care what a man has to say. I want to know what saith the word of God. When I went through Joe Haller and Joe Jr., I went through scripture with him. I let him look at those words and read them. Bible says we're all a mess, for all have sinned. He read that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. He saw it for himself, the words of God. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. Phil said, well, I don't wish. I think the Spirit's got to be present. Well, if you use the book, it's present. Said, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. Well, if you're there, you're born again, you have the indwelling Christ, you have the indwelling Spirit, so that's a second witness. You got the witness in the book, you got the witness indwelling you. What else do you need? You're just too lazy to witness to somebody. Preacher, don't start out. You just got back. They already had one meeting while you were gone. Where was I? Oh. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, does God's words abide in you? As thou hast sent me into the world, he said in John 17:18, even so have I also sent them into the world. God sends folks to be witnesses for him. Ye are the body of Christ. You're light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. When the light is gone, when this church gets caught up, raptured up, the gathered out, the bride of Christ, when it gets caught up, man, what a mess this world's going to be in then. Now, I used to say, well, the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit will be gone. Maybe so, but the Holy Spirit's always present, no matter where, no matter when, no matter what. He's always there, so better watch how I word that. But no longer will you have the church of God preaching the word of God to a lost world and calling sin sin and calling black black and white white. Man, you think it's bad now? Just wait till that happens. That's when that spirit of Antichrist, that Antichrist shows up. What a time that'll be. I'm glad we'll be out of here. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. John 17:18, 1 Corinthians 9:7. The Bible says, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? We don't go on our own. We go because God tells us to go. We serve a God. We serve a commander-in-chief, and our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. I've heard it said about preachers that some are mama called and daddy sent. Man preaches the gospel needs to be called of God. We've got a lot of liberal churches out there today. They'll call a man to be pastor because of the letters behind his name. Could care less how much spirit that of God is in that man. That's a shame. The power is in the Holy Spirit of God. God's looking for spirit-filled men. He'll give them the words to speak, and he tells them to study to show themselves approved unto God. John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of the gospel message. He said in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't say you might be. Don't know maybe to it. It says, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So the apostles were set apart. They were set apart unto God and were sent by the Lord into the world to be a light to the world and to preach the gospel. Said to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the rest of the world. John 17, 19, it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. How are we sanctified? We're sanctified through the truth. What's the truth? The word. Thy word is truth. So the only way that we're set apart is through the truth. If you're set apart by anything else, it's not effectual. We need to be set apart by the Word of God. That's where the power is. Preach the Word. Preach the book. God don't tell me to preach my opinions, though I do it many times. He says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Correct. Correction is given for correction. With all long-suffering and doctrine. What's doctrine? Bible truth. It's the truth that separates us. What separates us from the rest of the world is that we have the words of truth. And that separates us under this book and what it says on how we should live, how we should conduct church, how we should conduct our affairs in life, how we should dress, how we should walk, how we should talk. That don't mean you have to dress up like the church woman on Saturday Night Live. I know nobody's ever seen that show. You can have a bun that goes all the way to the ceiling and your dress all the way to the floor. And that don't do anything for God. He does want you to cover up. Modest, he says, modest apparel. I think that means where you just don't draw attention to your to the body. It'll draw attention to your faith, draw attention to holiness. Don't mean you got to look like the church lady of the 1700s. I don't think. Amen's all around the building. All right. The Lord lived a sinless, faultless life and was set apart as a sacrifice for all mankind. He was perfect. The book he left us is perfect. He submitted himself to his Father's will. You know what we do when we try to live by that book? We're submitting ourselves to the truth. We're saying we've had it with the world, we've had it with all the lies, with all the deception, with all the deceit, with all the craziness, and we're going to separate ourselves unto the Word of God, and that's what we're going to go by. He became a son in whom the Father said, I am well pleased. The Lord said, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Earlier, the Lord had said, I am the truth. So our sanctification is not through ourselves. You can't meditate your way to heaven. Bible says not by the will of the flesh. You can will something all you want and it won't happen. We get separated and sanctified by the truth, by the Word of God. I'm glad we've got it. I'm glad we've got a book that we can anchor in. Count on. That's why Paul was able to say in Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Earlier the Lord said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What makes us free? From this world of sin and bondage, it's the truth of God. We've been, that those shackles have been cut loose whenever we trusted Christ. That spiritual operation of God took place over there in Colossians 2. It talks about that. And that operation, you know how, who conducted that operation? The Word of God. It's sharp, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut asunder between a body and soul, bone and marrow. Soul and spirit, it's able to cut you loose from this body of flesh that's through the lust and the deceitful lust that holds you captive to a life of sin. It cut you loose from that, and now you live unto God, and we live and are sanctified through His Word. We try to do what God tells us to do, not what the flesh wants us to do. The Lord said, "I am the truth." Then here He said, "Thy word is truth." In John 1:14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, how that translates into the Word of God, which we have here, I'm not sure. I know that this book is a manifestation of God Himself because it's settled forever in heaven. A lot of the things the Lord did, He went somewhere, He did this and He did that the Scripture might be fulfilled. When the Lord was born, God sent Joseph around this way, and that was that the Scripture might be fulfilled, fulfilling the prophecies. Because the Scripture cannot be broken. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," Jesus Christ, "and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." My. That's what we talking about in our Reformers program. Rachel and Dan involved in that for what, 10 years? Involved in that? Probably that long. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It'll set you free tonight if you just got sense enough to believe it. And once you believe it, you need to act on it. Do your best to do like that book tells you to live. Do the best you can. And what you have weaknesses with, pray about. Ask God's grace to get you through those weak moments and that weakness that we all have. Most of us. All of you. All of me. If we're ever going to grow in Christ, it must be through the truth. It's the only way we're going to grow. You can't grow on a lie. If we're ever going to be set free from the bondage of sin, it has to be through the truth, through the Word of God. The Lord sanctified Himself by a sinless life, separated Himself from the world. He said, "I'm not of that crowd," and separated Himself unto the right hand of the Father. And His disciples no longer would walk by sight, but following the Lord's ascension, they walk by faith. Every day we walk by faith. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live and I walk and I breathe by His faithfulness." It's through Him. All things consist. It's through Him. Every breath that I breathe is the grace of God. Every thought I think that's a godly thought is God's grace to give me that thought, not a fleshly, lustly thought that the members want to run to. In this age, we sanctify ourselves by separating ourselves from this world system. It's a mess. You know it's a mess. I know it's a mess. God knows it's a mess. The washing of water by the Word. I ran across this text this evening in Isaiah 59:12. It says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them." Yeah, we know them. "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Oh, I think this is okay, and I think that's okay. Oh, be quiet. What the books say. "And judgment," it says, Isaiah 59:14, "and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." My. Hard to find truth today. Just watch the TV ads. I've talked about this before, ma'am. They'll show you a Big Mac on TV. You think that thing's that tall? And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness. My. Didn't say my righteousness or your righteousness. It says his righteousness. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. My. Truth. It's the word of God that we anchor to, because we believe, we know. As the disciple told the Lord, we believe and are sure. What comes first? The belief. That's faith. What comes next? Assurance. You start believing that book, you'd be surprised the assurance that God will give you about what you're reading as having the inerrant, infallible Word of God. My. It's the Word of God that cleans us up and makes us fit for service. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the Word. We get cleaned up by the Word. It's the Word of God that mixes with faith, and through the indwelling Spirit it reveals the truth of God's Word. We put faith in it. We trust in it. We believe it. Then he gives the assurance. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. My. We're not under that bondage of the law. We have the liberty of Christ. I'm thankful for that liberty. The Bible says just don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You got to be careful what you do. But the Bible says, happy is the man with that which he alloweth. There's some things I can do in my privacy or at home that God's okay with. I do out a bunch front of a bunch of folks, might be a stumbling block to them, so I don't do it. We have liberty in Christ, that yoke of bondage. And that's what all religions try to do today. They try to put folks under the yoke of bondage. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. All the law was sent here for us to give us the understanding of our sin. It through the law came the knowledge of sin. Paul said, I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The law came and sin revived. All of a sudden the law's here. Now I know I'm a sinner. I kind of thought I was before, but now I know I am. I'm one. But then when Christ came, he became the end of the law for righteousness. I don't get my righteousness from the law. I get it from Jesus Christ. And I live my life the best way that I know how, by trying to do like the book tells me to do. Try to live like the book tells me to live. I can come up with a lot of stuff on my own that I think might be pretty good. God might be pretty impressed with. God might think that's okay. But now and then that Word of God, you'll look at that and it'll nail something you thought was okay. It'll nail it down and say, no, it's not okay. It's sin. We look at issues today, political issues, abortion. Well, I think it's a woman's choice. Woman should have that right. Who told you that? God says if two strive together and a woman lose her fruit. Said both should be punished. And if mischief fall off, the child dies, then God will require life for life. That's what the book says. You can believe what you want to. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. God says it, we need to believe it. If God's against it, and we kind of ought to be against it, we're His church, we're the body of Christ. If God says it's wrong and it's wicked and it's dark and it's sinful, we kind of ought to stick with God if we claim to be the body of Christ in this world. Amen. Need to stick with God and what He says about those issues. God loves us. He set us apart, and He sets us apart through the truth. We're sanctified through the truth of God, through the Word of God. It sets you apart as a Christian, sets you apart from the world. It'll set you apart from your neighbors. It'll set you apart from some of your own family whenever you believe the book. But the Lord's praying that high priestly prayer to His Heavenly Father, Lord, sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Lord, thank You for Calvary and that free gift of salvation. Lord, help us, Lord, to know that we have the manual, Lord. We have the very words, Lord, that we can live by and go by. And Father, Your Spirit will give us guidance in it and understanding. Will teach us Your heart on these issues, Lord, if we'll just compare Scripture with Scripture and try to do things Your way, Father. Help us to be a church that is holy, Lord, and a church that wants to do right and wants to represent You as You want to be represented, Lord. And we want folks to see our church as You want the world to see Your church, Lord. Let us be Your church, and let us strive to obtain the mastery over the flesh and over the things of this world, Lord, that we might be acceptable in Thy sight, Lord. And we know that our acceptance is only through Your blood, Father, but we pray that our lives would not be a stumbling block to that gospel message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.